This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program encourages you, challenges you, and blesses you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. That's bdcministries.com. There's other interesting information on that website, including a weekly meditation, which I'd be happy to email to you, or you can read it on the website each week. Now, you can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. We'd be happy to take prayer requests or comments on the program. Now, today we're coming to the book of Colossians in our journey through the Bible. We've journeyed kind of through the Old Testament and we're in the New, and the purpose is to try to give some context to the Bible so that it's properly understood when we read it. But at the same time, we've been trying to encourage you to believe that the Bible was written for the common person. It was not written for those with theological degrees. I have nothing against theological degrees, excepting that sometimes we get the impression that only somebody who has been trained to read the Bible can read it. Now, when I look at a book like Colossians, I know that it was read to the assembly, and the assembly understood it. We have a tendency now to want to go verse by verse through a book like this and explain to our audience what each verse means. And it seems to me that in a sense, we feel we need to indoctrinate the people that are reading these books rather than letting them understand the book for themselves. I realize if you're an unsaved person, you're not going to understand it, because an unsaved person does not have the Spirit of God indwelling them, sealing them, so that they have the Holy Spirit illuminating them as they read the Bible. But for a Christian that reads the Bible, who has truly been saved, who has truly been born again, born of the Spirit, then we find that they've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, and the Word of God becomes an open book to them. I realize we need help with translations. We need help with customs. We need help with the meaning of words, but I want people to understand that the basic thrust of the Bible is easy to understand. The Old Testament is about an earthly people with an earthly land and with earthly promises, and it illustrates the truths that are being explained to us in the New Testament, where we're looking at a spiritual people with a spiritual land and with spiritual promises. So now we've come to the book of Colossians. We've looked at the first four books of the New Testament, which are biographies. We call them Gospels. We've looked at the Acts of the Apostles, which is historical and explains what happened after the Lord was raised from the dead and taken back into heaven, and how the gospel spread through those who had been witnesses to the resurrection. And then we've come to Romans, and that has explained the gospel as it applies to the Gentile, to the non-Jew. We've come to 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians, and now we're coming to Colossians. And in Colossians, we're looking at Christ as the head of the church. We find out that if we were to read from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, we would kind of get the thrust of the whole book. He, that is Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist or hold together. And here's what I'm reading for. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, the first begotten from the dead, the first one raised from the dead, never to die again, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And so he's the head of the body. He's the one who is to have the preeminence. Men are not to be preeminent in the church. It's Christ who is to be preeminent. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. That is, we see the fullness of God in Christ. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. So as we look at this section, we find out that as the image of God, he is his representative. I know there's a lot of differences of opinion as to what it means when man was created in the image of God. But if you really think about it, images are always designed to represent something. It may be that it's a calf, but it represents a god. It may be a totem pole, but it represents a god. Well, Christ represents God fully. He fully represents God. As the head of the church, he's the one who is in authority. And that's a problem verse, a problem concept for us today, because we are like the children of Israel in the Old Testament, where everyone does that which is right in his own eyes. But the Lord is head. Now, the Lord is an absentee boss. He's given us instructions, and he said, you carry them out. And when I meet you, I'll judge you as to whether you've been faithful to how you've carried them out. He doesn't judge us as to whether we belong in heaven or hell. That's been decided by whether we trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as his servants and as part of the body of Christ, we will be judged as to whether we did what he asked us to do. And so we have a voluntary servitude, we who are in the church, recognizing that he's the one who is in authority. And he asks us to do things that are not culturally acceptable today. He asks women to place head coverings on their heads in 1 Corinthians 11. And even though that is not culturally acceptable, it's done so that the angels in heaven can see that women who represent mankind can, in fact, put a head covering on to show that mankind is not visible in the church. It's Christ who is visible in the church. Man has his head uncovered because man represents Christ. And as we've read here, he's the one who is to have the preeminence. Now, this is found in the epistles. This is the things that the apostles wrote to us directly. They were not only written for us, they were written to us. Much of the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, was written for us, but not to us. But this is written to us. And the Lord is the head. He has the right to ask these things. He's not a cruel taskmaster, but he has the right to ask these things. But we today are not willing to submit, in many cases, in the church to his authority. We understand that the world, the unsaved, is not going to submit to his authority. But we who are saved, who are part of the church, should submit to his authority. Now, when we look at the Ephesian epistle, we find out that it is telling us what the body of Christ, the church as a whole, looks like. When we look at the Colossian epistle, it's sort of a mirror image of the Ephesian epistle, but here we're looking at authority within the church. We're looking at the head of the church. So in Ephesians, we have the body, and in Colossians, we have the head. Now, we have a warning in Colossians. It says in Colossians 2 and verse 8, and notice in every one of these books there's warnings, because it's quite clear that it is easy for us to be deceived by people who seemingly have knowledge that we feel we do not have, or seemingly have insight that we feel we do not have. And so the warning in Colossians 2 and 8 is this: beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So even in the Colossian assembly, there were people who were cheating people by philosophy and empty lies. Now, when we look at philosophy, that has to do with the way we think. And so when somebody starts out and says, it seems to me, and in many cases, it seems to me that this particular passage is not appropriate for our day, or it seems to me that this does not make sense, or it seems to me that many people would disregard this particular principle in the Bible, where it starts out, it seems to me, without an underlying documentation from the Word of God, be careful, because that's philosophy. That's what a natural man might say. And it's true that there are spiritual men who would say, it seems to me, but they should be able to document why scripturally they would say that. So if they're saying, it seems to me, be careful. And if you're looking at people who say, well, I just simply don't believe that God would do such a thing, now, that's empty lies. People will say, I just don't believe that God would send people to hell. Well, that's an empty lie. I don't believe that you have to know how you're saved. I don't believe you have to remember being lost. Well, the Bible says you do. The Bible says we're lost before we're saved. You may not remember the date, but you should remember the event. I know there are people that disagree with me, and I've wrestled with this issue, but I have to tell you what I believe the Bible says. The Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so when we say, I don't believe you have to know these things, I don't believe you have to remember being lost, I don't remember, you don't have to remember being convicted of your sin, that bothers me. And much as I love the people who tell me that, I have to be faithful and say that I wouldn't trade places with them for 5 minutes. I remember being convicted of my sin. I remember when I passed from death unto life. I wouldn't remember the date if there hadn't been some historical things going on at the same time, but I would remember the event. And so when people say, I just don't believe, be careful. But when we come to the Colossian epistle, it does something for us that I think is extremely important in our day, because we have TV, we have social networks, we have Facebook and all these things that keep us focused on problems in this life. But the Lord says to us through Paul in Colossians 3 verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. And if you don't remember anything else, that is an extremely important thing. Don't be spoiled or cheated through philosophy or vain deceit, empty lies, but instead focus on those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless this lesson and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation. We commit ourselves into your care. In our Savior's name, amen.